I think I'm right tonight, and you would probably agree with me, when I say that in the plans of most people, whether it is governments or anyone else, that the Christian message, that is the message of the gospel, is largely excluded. It seems that more and more, everywhere you look, that this message is being more and more set to one side as the years go by. It is looked upon as something that is extreme. And when we think of that word extreme tonight, we would agree with it in part that the gospel message, the Christian's message, is an extreme message, because not only is it a message that is so much excluded today, but it is a message that is exclusive today. You might ask the question, well, what is exclusive about this message that the Christian has? Well, it is a message. It is a message that interferes. You see, it is not a message that is addressed to men and women regarding their human rights that we hear so much about today, or political correctness in keeping everyone on board and making sure that all your T's are stroked properly and your I's are dotted properly, that you never say anything that could in any way be contrived to be a message that would interfere. Well, that is not the message of the gospel. The gospel message is a message that interferes. Because when it is preached, God the Holy Spirit singles out men and women and shows them their sin. And shows them that whatever their opinion might be of themselves, or however they may be lauded or exalted in the eyes of men, it shows them how they are before the Lord. And in that way, it is an exclusive message, because it interferes, but also because it's individual. Whenever you speak to a gathering of people and you deliver a sweeping message, people can often be left thinking, well, that's for somebody else, or it might be for me and it might not be. It is not so with the gospel. Because the Christian's message is one that narrows its application right down to the individual man or woman, boy or girl. And again, that today is something that people would rather not sit under or rather not listen to. It's exclusive because it interferes, because it is individual, because of its intolerance. There's another word you dare not mention today. But remember the churches there in the Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor, which the Lord Jesus gave messages to. And some of those churches, in fact, the most of them, he had some good things to say about them. But there had been, on their part, tolerance of that which wasn't in keeping with what he taught. And if you look at those messages very, very carefully, even though some of them had taken magnificent stands in certain areas of their work, he had that which was against them, because that's the words he used. I have somewhat against thee. And then he went on to speak to them, and many times it was to do with their tolerance. You see, the message of the gospel is a message of intolerance, because it will call sin, sin. It will show man what the Bible pictures him to be. It's also an exclusive message because it demands repentance. It demands repentance from those who listen to it. And I just want to say tonight, when I think about that, that everything that I have said, you will look upon as positive, Christian. And you will believe that, yes, it's a message that interferes. We want it to be directed to the individual. It is to be intolerant of sin. It preaches the gospel as something that is right opposite to sin. They're poles apart. There's no room there for compromise with sin, because sin damns men and women. And therefore, there is that demand for repentance. And believers have great confidence in it, because they know what it did for them. And that is why, when you look back over the annals of history, many have given their lives for the cause of the gospel. There are, well, you could say ministers and missionaries today, they've thrown their own life and their own ambition to one side to promote this cause. Why? Because they know what it can do. They know the difference that it can make in the lives of men and women. And that is why we love this Christian message. And when we think of how we were lost and broken and beaten down by sin and under condemnation, and God came along and he sought us out and he brought us into fellowship with himself, and all that was lost through the entrance of sin into this world, he gives it back to us and more. Because Adam was always liable to fall, and when a Christian saved, he can fail, but he cannot fall. Better position than Adam was. It covers our need. It covers your need, man or woman. It covers your past sin. It covers your present circumstances. It covers your future as well. It is indeed well referred to as an eternal salvation. And this is a great verse that we've read tonight regarding this salvation. But I want to say this as we look at the verse. While what I have said, I trust you will agree, is positive regarding the Christian's message, this exclusive message that is so often excluded today, there is in this verse four no's for now. There is in this verse no's for now. That which is applicable to men and women who are still in their sin. And I want to draw your attention to that tonight. The title is No's for Now. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look here at verse 12, that there is no room for procrastination. Procrastination really is simply putting something off to another time. And Peter here, when he was speaking, you will see that he's very careful here to say that there's none other name under heaven given among men. He's referring to that which is here and now. In fact, whenever he's speaking here, he's thinking of those in the immediate context that have need here and now. The Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And I know that many Christians tonight, if they could do it, would love to go and knock the door of their unsaved friends and say, "Listen, your intentions may be good, but the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And also over there in the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel chapter 19, we look here at what it says in verse 5. It says, this is the experience of Zacchaeus. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up," that was to where Zacchaeus was, "and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thine house." Here's an example of a man who was sought, he was singled out, and he was saved by the Lord. But it's important that you note what it says in the very first verse. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." He passed through Jericho, and it's right to say that the Lord passes through or passes by. In fact, in the lives of all individuals, the Lord really is passing by. And sometimes he favors men and women with great opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear this Christian exclusive message that interferes and that is individual and that demands repentance, to hear it time and time again. This was a very special day for this man called Zacchaeus. But the Lord was passing through. The Lord was passing through. And if Zacchaeus, and the Lord knowing his heart, if Zacchaeus had not behaved in the way that he did and gone up the sycamore tree, tomorrow the Lord could have moved on. And he could have moved on to somewhere else. Over there as well in the book of Hebrews, it's chapter 3, and it says there in the verse 7, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." You see, the Bible, men and women, whenever we consider it, even from Genesis right through to its revelation, does not guarantee any more opportunities after the present moment. doesn't guarantee any second chance. Because for a preacher, for instance, myself or anyone else, to stand and to say to men and women, there is another chance for you. Some other way, some other time, maybe not today. That really is to provide a back door out of hell for men and women. And there's no back door out of hell tonight. And this salvation that is absolutely necessary, for that's what the writer said there, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the thought behind the word there is one of absolute necessity. Must be saved. Be saved from something and saved to something. Saved from sin and saved to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this salvation is something which is available now. There is to be no procrastination. That's what this verse is teaching us. No procrastination. There was a man one time who was a Christian, and he had been quite a prolific writer as well as a preacher, and he had believed in the free offer of the gospel. And he sought as best he could to promote the cause of Christ. And he had a son. And when the son got up, by the time he was in his 30s, he was living a life of debauchery. And to cut a long story short, even though his father had been praying much for him, he died in very tragic circumstances with no profession of faith. And you know that man, and you and I can understand his grief in his heart, his disappointment, his great concern for the spiritual situation regarding his son that was now gone. From that moment on, or shortly afterwards, he began to embrace what is called final reconciliationism. That one day, when men and women go out to meet the Lord, if they have not made preparation in this life, that somehow or another, God in that day will show them mercy when they go out to meet him. Final reconciliation. Folks, the Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible doesn't teach it. Now is the accepted time, and that is the exclusive teaching of the Bible. So one of the no's for now is this. There's to be no procrastination. Unsaved person, whether here or listening in sermon or audio, let nothing hold you back from Christ tonight. Let no one hold you back from Christ tonight. But make your peace with him. Flee to him tonight as a man or woman who is sure of no more opportunities. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But there is another no here. Not only do we say that there is no procrastination, it is neither because there's no other name under heaven. It is the here and now. But there's no shortcuts. There is no shortcuts. It says neither is there salvation in any other. You could literally read that passage if you had a Greek manuscript before you. Neither is the salvation in any other. It is something which is singular. It is something which is available on God's terms and in God's way and in no other way. And he says here, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men. None other name. What did he really mean when he said there's none other name under heaven? Well, if you look there in what it says in various passages of God's word, we're not going to turn to them all tonight. Just want to read what it says there in 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Referring here to Jesus Christ and the eternal counsels of God, gave himself to death for the redemption of men. And what we would say to you tonight, Christian, is this: keep on praying for your loved one, keep on pleading the promises of God, and keep on seeking to bring men and women under the word of God, because where it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the name, none other name under heaven, this is really what it's referring to. Him being the only mediator between God and man. And there is no other way whereby men and women can be brought to him. And if we cannot get men and women to understand tonight that it is resting upon his merit and all that he has done, then we can't do anything for them. It is lovely when, and we're thankful here in Anglia that over the course of any given year, I suppose there's quite a number of unsaved come and count all our special meetings and so on. And it's lovely to have people in. But I'm sure you would agree with me tonight that many times you feel greatly grieved when they leave as they came. They leave as they came. And what they really do, I'm not saying they do it in an arrogant way toward me, far from it, or toward you either, but they walk right past what God has provided in Christ on their way out. The writer here again in Acts chapter 4 was saying, verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And you know the situation there regarding the one that was healed and so on. He makes much of Christ because there's nothing else he can do. There's nothing else he can do. Many years ago, there was a man who was seeking to do some evangelism in a street. I'm not sure where it was, but he was seeking to witness to men and women that he came into contact with. And he was approached by a man, and the man was seeking directions for somewhere. And he told him, he says, "If you go down the street there and you turn," I'm not sure if it was left or right, and he said, "you go past the big cross that is there. And if you walk on past that cross, you will get to the place that you're looking for." And from there, he began his conversation regarding salvation. And he said something to that man that stopped for instructions and directions that is very pertinent for us today. In his discussion with the man, he discussed Christ. He discussed the Calvary's sacrifice. He discussed man's sin and the burden of sin and how he could have it dealt with. But he said this. He says, if you turn your back on him, what you are doing, and you can think of this as you walk down that street, what you're doing is you are walking past the cross. You're walking past the cross. And folks, as we meet here this evening, in the comfort of this church with our Bibles in our hand, all around us, whether we really like the fact of it or not, all around us tonight, people we love and people that we seek to reach seem quite content to walk on past the cross. There doesn't seem to be that concern. But the Bible shows us here that there are no shortcuts. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I just want to read what it says there quickly in John's Gospel chapter 14. And it's the verse 6. It's a very simple verse. You've all heard it before. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you can remember this, if you're speaking to anyone and you show them that verse, it shows us here that Jesus is the way to salvation. He's the truth in salvation, and he's the life of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are no shortcuts. And folks, we're living in a day when, again, we're not here to be critical, but we're living in a day when shortcuts are being presented to men and women. Messages that stop short of a call for repentance. And that is not the teaching of the Bible. For here's a verse, a very important verse, that we're looking at tonight in Acts chapter 4. And it shows us there's to be no procrastination. This side of heaven, under heaven, you'll be saved. No final reconciliation. It has to be now, here in this side of eternity, or it will be never. Number two, there are no shortcuts. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Men and women, and I say this tonight, grieved about it. Men and women hate that message, that there are no shortcuts. But there's no discrimination. And surely that gives hope to all tonight who will listen. For it says here about being given among men. Given among men. You know the verse in Romans 10, 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no what men would call a racial barrier. There is no material barrier. In fact, there's nothing tonight that will hold men back from Christ if they will come to him, as far as he is concerned. Over there again in Acts, it's Acts chapter 4, just where we are, if you look at verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. At least here they had got a grasp of what was being preached, because they noted here that these men had been with Christ. And Christian friend, that in itself is something. If men will note that we've been with Christ and get them to that point where they know that salvation will make a difference. That salvation will make a difference. That there is no discrimination, because this message is given among men. People say to you, you know, you're so extreme and your message is so exclusive. It is intolerant. You say, that's right. But it doesn't discriminate. It's for all who will come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, if I can read what it says there in the book of Romans to you. Book of Romans, chapter 2. It says there, Romans 2 and verse. You can look at this passage. The early verses are a great warning to men and women who hear the message of the gospel. It says there in verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Every unconverted person tonight who will listen to what I'm saying can trace God's forbearance. They can trace his goodness. They can know about his riches. But it speaks here about despisest thou the riches of his goodness. Now the word despisest there literally means to look down disparagingly upon something. To hear it and to consciously look down in a disparaging way upon it. It's an awful thought tonight, but a true thought indeed. That there is what so many in Ulster are doing this evening. They are looking down in a disparaging way. And there's great words of warning there about the hardness of the heart in verse 5. Treasuring up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. The thought there between treasuring up is to do with the words to do with the storehouse. Filling up. Filling up the wrath of God toward you. What an awful thought for men and women who at this moment are already condemned and under the wrath of God. That it's getting worse. That which lies down the road for them, if they do not turn from their sin and be converted to Christ, that one day that wrath and all its ferocity will be poured out upon them. What an awful thing for men and women. But it says here in this chapter 2, in verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons with God. You know, sometimes you hear people here come and give their testimony, and they will tell how the Lord brought them to the end of themselves before they come to him. And that's where you need to get tonight. To the end of yourself. Isaiah was the evangelical prophet, and he's preaching in chapter 55 of his prophecy, and he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." When you think of all that is typified here by the wine, speaking of the oil and the milk and the everything here that people are laboring for it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And if you look at those verses and say, what could you sum this all up by saying? You could sum it all up by saying free. Free. Because it says there, without money and without price. But men and women who listen tonight need to listen with attention. They need to listen with affection. But very, very importantly, they need to listen with appropriation. And apply it to your own heart what is being offered here. For it says here, hearken diligently unto me. Sad to say that very often when the gospel is preached, if you were to ask an individual at the door, and I wouldn't do it, and I don't know anybody who would, but if you were to say, well, you know, did I say anything in the message that is applicable to you? Very many times, people would not be able to say, yes, you did. Because they do not appropriate the truth to their own situation. Over there in 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 1, there and the verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and in the opinion of the apostle, of whom I am chief. There's no discrimination tonight. I want to say this, and we've mentioned the cross earlier on. There's room tonight at the cross for you. I don't want you to start looking over your history and think of all those matters that you think would need to be settled, old scores, things that happened in the past. I just want to say to you tonight that there is room at Calvary's cross for you, but you must come. You must come in repentance to Christ. The title tonight of this message really was, I was referring to these no's. But there was no procrastination. It's under heaven. This is the time to be saved. There are no shortcuts. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. There's no discrimination because it's given among men. It's for those who will come. But a final note tonight is this. There is no charge. For it says there in that verse that it is given among men. It's referring to something that is free. And when someone comes and offers you a gift, I got a couple of gifts because it's Father's Day. As I said, the card's there for you to look at. But I got After Eights, and they're really nice. And Maltesers, they're even nicer. And I have ate some of them, and I brought some After Eights for those who'll be chatting afterwards, just to give you one of those. But what I want to say is this. When someone offers you a gift, All you can do, you receive it or you reject it. There's no in between. Because if you receive it, you've received it. And even if you reject it, whatever you say, you've still rejected it. And so it is with God's salvation. All you can do tonight, men, is this message is delivered among men. It is given among men. There's no charge for it. All you can do is either receive it or reject it. Now, some have rejected it for a very long time. It says over there, in John, I'll just read it for you. John chapter 10, verse 27. It says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here's the message from those who have come to Christ. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man. And if you have a reference Bible, it may say in your reference there, anything. Pluck them out of my hand. When I say anything, I mean not only any man, but any imp of hell. The devil himself cannot take you out of the hand of the Lord. This is showing us the security of all who will come to him. And this salvation we're preaching tonight, this exclusive message that is so often looked upon as extreme, and therefore it's excluded. It's a message that says to you tonight, no, 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 no. No procrastination, no shortcuts, but to your great benefit tonight, no discrimination. It's for you. And it doesn't stop there, because there's no charge. That is for you as well. You know, just a couple of weeks ago there was a special meeting down in Derry Hubbard Mission Hall, which is near where I come from. If you know where Peatland Park is, it's very close to there. And the meeting there was to celebrate 80 years from the little mission hall there open. There are only a few people go down on a Sunday night to it, and sometimes very few at that. But sometimes when I'm coming up the road to go to my mum and dad's or any of my brother's houses there, when I remember about the mission hall, I'm not saying I remember all the time, but sometimes I do. It's just before you turn off there at the Peatlands Park, you can look over to where it is. I thank God that he ever brought it into being. Because there, many, many years ago, that my granda was saved from alcoholism. And then a couple of weeks later, my dad was telling me this the other day, a couple of weeks later, my granny was saved. There were missions held there by men called Boland and Grant. Some of you would have known, perhaps, or heard about Noel Grant and Mr. Boland as they went around preaching. Well, they were converted in those days in that mission. And sometime later, my mom and dad, as very, very young people, they were converted as well. A little insignificant mission hall there that most people pay no heed to, and in the eyes of many, it would be far too plain and far too ordinary to bother about. God did a work there. Because there were those years when it seemed that almost every week men and women were being converted there. But those men and women were told that they had to come. They had to come just as they were. My granda, who became a man who was greatly involved in mission halls for many, many years, he had to come just as he was, almost an alcoholic, with all of his sin. And so had Granny, and so had my mom and my dad, and many others over the years. But we want to say tonight to you that, as the wee hymn says, millions have come, but there's room for more. And you need to come, and you need to come tonight. You need to come here tonight. And really, again, if I could look at this verse, I think of the title of a modern hymn. You could look at this verse that we've taken for our text tonight, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and you could write over it, in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Because that's really what it is saying to us. Brokenness all around us. Men beaten down with sin. Battling just to try to make some sense out of life without a Savior. Well, the answer's found in Christ alone. And you can find him tonight if you will be found of him. Remember what we said about Zacchaeus. Jesus was passing by Jericho. Someday he might pass by you. And strive with your heart never again. Don't leave it to them. Come tonight and put your faith and trust in him. And come to own him as Savior and Lord for